All right. We got to get through this because Davey's here. Okay. Judges. And here we go. I love last week when we talked about Purah. Purah, the branch. And we have a Purah with us in Jesus Christ. And we looked at these scriptures in Isaiah and Jeremiah and Zechariah and John, where Christ is compared to the branch. And the application that we had last week that I had highlighted there, when fear comes back, because fear will come back. You'll pray for somebody and then you'll start, fear will come back. And when the fear came back on Gideon, God knew. And he says, get the branch. Travel with the branch. Oh, that's a good word for you right there. When you're getting ready to do the work of the Lord, make sure that you're traveling with the branch. Don't leave home without the branch. Your Purah, Jesus Christ. And I hope that today somebody will hear the words that they need to hear. And so Gideon gets down and he hears the enemy say in verse 14, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. The sword of Gideon. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the hosts. That's the word that he heard. The enemy was more afraid of him than he ever imagined. The enemy knew more about him, it seemed, than what he knew himself. And when you suffer through things, and when we go through some things, you just got to know, sometimes the enemy gets in the way because he knows how dangerous we are. And so Gideon hears this, and he places himself in a position to hear this encouraging word. I told you about the reflection of parents or whatever from last. I don't know what it is. God already told him what he needed to hear, but then he can't get encouraged until he hears it from someplace else. I know. That's just the way kids are. And we are called the children of God. And if we just, I'm dealing with my grandson on one of these things right now. I told him what to do. He's a really smart kid, which is his problem. He's really smart. But if you already know what to do and you don't do it, that's pretty dumb. And I had to get him across, 12 years old. I got to let him know, man, you have not, I'm like a dinosaur compared to you. You have not been on the earth long enough to really understand this is how things go and this is how it flows with Christ or whatever. And it's just, you just delay getting off punishment. You just delay getting God's best. You just delay your breakthrough and your victory when you just don't obey the instructions. But I celebrate when people finally do get it. Okay, here we go. New stuff. Verse 16 and 17. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. I have no great revelation behind that, except maybe that's one for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I have no great insight as to why he split them up into three companies, but he did. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And again, I guess their sword must have been off to the side because they didn't have the sword in their hand. They've got these pitchers with lamps inside and a trumpet. Verse 17. If you're looking for leadership tips or skills or want to share somebody on how to be a good leader, verse 17 and 18 is the way to go. And he said unto them, look on me and do likewise. That's called leadership by example. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. Watch me and do what I do. When I blow with a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So he's replaying exactly what he heard from the enemy camp. The enemy is aware of this sword of Gideon. And so he puts the Lord in there and he says, here's what you're going to repeat, this profound word that I heard. You're going to repeat that word, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And that's what they're going to yell. Okay. So Got no great revelation, but it's just a wonderful leadership example. If you want to be a good leader, lead by example. Yes, sir.
Just a thought. When you say you couldn't get any more revelation on the 3-in-1, in my mind, I'm just thinking that the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are one. And when those three come together, they become one.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of said. Yeah, you know, maybe three is for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, you know, again, in Jewish culture, three is the perfect number of witnesses. So, okay. Yeah, so, you know, I don't have any greater revelation than that, and maybe that's all the revelation I needed to have was that, you know, this is all the evidence you need. So Gideon and the 300 men that were with him, take note, we're still talking about 300 men here, came into the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. So they're changing the guard here. And they had but newly set the watch, and they blew the trumpets and break the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and break the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hand to blow withal. And they cried, as they were instructed, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. I bet about two or three people are going to run out of here talking about the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. Wait a minute. They did not run into the camp right away. They stood, every man in his place, round about the camp. So he's got to wait. Who are they waiting on?
Gideon.
Waiting on the Lord.
Thank you very much. They're waiting on the Lord. Look at that wonderful child in Norm's lap. All right. So, almost has as much hair as I do. All right. So, they're waiting on the Lord. Is there any application about that today?
Yes, we should wait on the Lord.
Wait on the Lord. Just do what he told you to do and wait on him.
Yes, wait on him.
That's good.
Wait on him. All right. And all the hosts ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets. And the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the hosts. And the hosts fled to Bethshittah. In Zerarath, oh man, the Lord just humbled me. And to the border of, stop laughing at me. To the border of Abel Melholah, unto Tabath. All right.
Yeah.
Yes. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. Let me pause for a minute. What would have happened if the three companies who blew the trumpets and break the pitchers didn't wait on God to move after they had been obedient and just ran into the middle of the camp?
It would have been conquered.
Yeah. Just wait on the Lord. When you've done all that you know to do and that you have been instructed to do, you wait on the Lord.
Right.
I've done everything I can. I've turned this over to the Lord. I'm waiting on you. Tag, you're it. Mm-hmm. All right. Verse 24. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters of Beth Bara in Jordan. And then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Bara in Jordan. And they took the two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb. I guess they named them after they killed them there. And pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side of Jordan. Okay, so let's take a look at some notes that I have here, because there's something kind of significant here that we see going on. All right. Can you imagine the enemy in the middle of the night not knowing what's going on in darkness, and then all of a sudden you hear 300 people and you don't know it's 300 people, and all of a sudden you hear this loud simultaneous noise, the sound of breaking pitchers and lights all around and trumpets sounding.
Yeah.
That could mess up your peace for a minute.
Mm-hmm. Your mind, too.
Yes. And it can cause a significant amount of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And in
hey,
that...
Chuck.
Yes.
Chuck.
Yes. Yes.
Chuck.
Yes.
I remember that if we all remember the old Westerns where we saw the cavalry.
Yeah.
One guy with a trumpet and a whole lot of soldiers with him.
Yes.
So what the Lord did here with Gideon is they had the appearance of a vast army, whereas there was only 300.
Exactly. You can make all kinds of Hollywood movies out of this script. I mean, and they have. So yeah, it's the same thing. And so it gave the appearance that they were greater than what they were. All right. And the enemy didn't know because they're in the dark. Come on now. You know, people that don't know the Lord, they're still in the dark.
Yes.
And they're confused. And they ran away. And when they started to run, that's when they started to pursue. All right. Now, a couple of notes here before we get into chapter 8. The enemy began attacking each other because God caused the confusion. And all, thank you, Lord. All God's people had to do was just watch while the enemy took themselves out. But I have a note here. Be very careful. Just like the confusion and fear caused the enemy to attack themselves, does the same thing work against the kingdom?
Yeah.
And what happens when Christians and believers start attacking each other? The enemy doesn't have anything to do.
Tear down each other?
The enemy just watches and waits to capture the spoil. That's what Gideon's guys are doing. They're just waiting. This is a good show. They're killing each other. We don't have to do anything. Let's just be careful that, I'm big on teaching. I'm a little weak on the whole fellowship part, but I love the fellowship because, you know what, one thing we need to understand, and I love this about our class, and I thank you again for the gift and all, and I just thank you for all of this, and this is just a temporary thing. We'll all be together real soon. In fact, I had my first COVID shot. So, this is just a temporary season. Seasons expire. But I love the fellowship and the love and the camaraderie with our group. And, man, the enemy wins if we ever start attacking each other.
We have two more people here this morning. Y'all remind me of your name again. Yeah!
Did that other people call me Dee. That's not
Claire. Dee and Claire are here.
Haven't they been here before?
Yeah,
they've been missing. Hey, this time, make sure Al doesn't say anything to chase him away again.
Hello.
Okay.
They didn't know we were here.
Oh, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay, well, good. Happy to have you. All right. So, let's hit. Anybody got any comments as we get ready to do
David,
just...
We're moving on, David.
Oh, that's what that clapping was for?
Yeah.
Fat critter. Anyway. All right, Judges chapter 8. It goes real fast. I tell you, it goes real fast. We probably finish this today, and then we'll get on the next lesson, which is going to be Barack. I ain't talking about Obama. I'm talking about the one in the Bible. All right, here we go. Judges chapter 8. And the men of Ephraim, this is going to help somebody. This right here is going to help somebody. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, that thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him. Chide means they were mad. I got the definition there. It means to strive against. All right. And they chide with him sharply, which means they were some kind of upset and mad. How can you be mad and upset when you're in the middle of a victory?
Because they wanted to be in on it. They wanted to be a part of that.
Ooh, jealousy. Yeah. You know what? Here's the thing that gets me. You're getting the results that you prayed for. I'm not talking about anybody in particular. I'm just saying. You're getting the results that you prayed for. God moves the way that he said he was going to move, but then you get mad and upset because it don't look the way that you thought it was going to look.
That's how we are.
That's how, that's how it is. So my whole military career, I was trying to make general. I said, if I make colonel, I'll be okay. And my whole career was, I'm going to make colonel. And I just kind of felt like the Lord was going to let me make colonel. And you know the story. And so I got out before my colonel's board. I never even got to my colonel's board because I retired before the board even met. And then my wife, amazing, ain't nothing but a miracle. Because her career was not going anywhere. And all of a sudden she joins the reserve, and all of a sudden she starts making rank, and the woman puts on colonel. And we're riding through the base one day, and she says to me, you know, God is great. As I'm driving, she just looks and she says, you know, God is so great. Because you already said that there was going to be a Colonel Latham. And now there is.
That's funny.
And before I got ready to stop and throw her out the car, I realized that God blessed. It just didn't look and happen the way that you thought it was going to be.
I hope it was.
Ooh. Yeah. And just because it didn't happen directly to me, just because I wasn't the center of attention, I was upset. But I had a victory.
And you know, that's a blessing.
Well, well, she's getting her retirement check now. Amen. So anyway, and I don't see the money, but at least I don't have to give her any more of mine. So here we go. So
that's a blessing.
That's a blessing. Amen. Buy myself another motorcycle. All right. So here we go. So in verse 2, Gideon uses a lot of wisdom here, and he says, oh, and I love, he uses questions. Always use questions. Always use questions to get to the root of stuff. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison to you? Oh, my goodness. He's got to be humble to do this. Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abizar? Now, Abizar is where he's from. So what he's saying here, even the leftover grapes, because gleaning is leftovers. Even the residue in the leftover grapes of your land is better than the first fruits, the whole harvest of ours. I got to write that down. I didn't have that in my notes. He says, God, I like when he puts God in. God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison to you? I mean, I started the thing off, but you guys got the reward. Then their anger was abated. For those of you that don't know, all right, that means it subsided. Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. Now, I haven't been saved all my life, and so when stupid people, excuse me, I don't want to call them stupid people, when ingrates, all right, rear their heads, my first response is normally to just, Al, tell me where I am on the seven-step chart. When somebody says something dumb to me like this because they're ingrates and we're in the middle of the victory and you want to complain about the victory, my first response is, are you crazy, ingrate? And that is the truth, Al.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
am I?
Yeah. Yeah.
Zero.
Okay, well, somebody said I'm not even on the chart. What? Because I'm responding in the flesh. Do you see how easy it is to respond in the flesh?
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Anybody ever respond in the flesh and it's your relative that set you off?
Yeah.
No.
No? Okay. Well, yeah, all right. Well, all of these people are related because they're from the 12 tribes. And so I'm like, you know, yeah. But look at what he says. They should have been happy with the victory. Instead, they're complaining over the strategy. It's the pride thing. And when you do that, now the enemy is not totally defeated yet. There's still some people running around out there. And I put a note in here. They should have been chasing the enemy rather than what? Fighting each other. They're fighting each other, and the enemy is getting away.
Yes.
Pride can keep you from doing what God really wants you to do.
Sometimes you have to remind your relatives or your family that you're not the enemy.
Yeah. Ooh, I'll write that down. Remind them you are not the enemy. Wow. You go back and tell that to my grandson. Yeah, you got to remind them that you're not the enemy. Okay, so I love the response of Gideon, and as I was looking at this, I saw two scriptural references that are really good. Al, why don't you hit Proverbs 15:1 for me if you could. And let me see if I can find Proverbs 13:10 real quick.
I got it.
Oh, good. God bless you.
Oh.
I got 13:10.
All right.
I got 15:1.
All right. Go down and read 13:10 for me, please.
Pride only breeds quarrels, but wisdom is found in those who take advice.
Wow. And Al?
A gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words make temper flare.
Gideon had a right, and he could have very easily responded in a different way. Mm-hmm. And then there would have been a war. But he put his pride behind him, and he used wisdom, guided by the Holy Spirit, and he uses a soft answer to turn away this chiding. Is there an application for us today?
Yes.
Okay, well, what is it?
Okay.
Quick to hear, so to speak.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
be quick to hear.
I think he needs to learn to stop first before you respond.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, you know, give an answer the way he did. You give a soft answer.
I think what helps is understanding the end goal. What is the end goal of everything that they're going through right now? To defeat the enemy, all right, to come out of bondage, defeat the enemy, and give who glory?
Awesome.
Give glory to God.
And be free.
Ah, thank you very much. Okay. Ooh, I like that. Check this out. If Gideon does not respond the right way when he's confronted here, and Gideon's done nothing wrong, but if he responds, come on now, you know sometimes you haven't done anything wrong and just people just want to clown. Now, if he does not answer them the right way, does God get glory?
No.
Does he get the victory?
No.
It gets delayed. The enemy escapes. Because he's too busy fighting with
one another.
Thank you. If your motivation, and I was telling this to my grandson, if your motivation is to make your father proud, if your motivation is, I don't want to do anything that's going to make daddy angry, if your motivation is to please God, well done, thou good and faithful servant, if your motivation is to give God glory, it's easier for you to put your pride and your hurt feelings and your anger off to the side and do those things that the word tells you to do in order to give God the glory.
Amen.
All right, let me just keep going. And it's just some other quick notes here with this. When you get stuck in that situation, I got Philippians 2:3 here as an example as well. But ask questions. The right questions that make them think about why it was stupid to be mad over what they're mad about. All right. That's about the best word you're going to get today. So everything else is just downhill from here. All right. And verse 4, and Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint, yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, give, I pray you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they be faint. And I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. All right. Application for today. What is the significant truth that's in verses 4 and 5?
Yeah, pursuing.
Despite being?
Tired.
Ah. Do saints and warriors, do workers in the kingdom of God get tired?
Yes.
Ooh, you said that quick. do people give up in the kingdom?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had this conversation with my grandson today. He's been giving his mama some trouble, and I'm like, ooh, my goodness, you're too quick to give up. And after she kept telling me about the things that he was doing, I'm like, you know what? I just gave up on this boy. Yeah. I think, I've been going through a lot with him, and I think about ready to give up on him and turn him over to a reprobate mind. Whatever happens to you, happens to you. But now, as I'm reading this verse, maybe I'll hang in there just a little bit longer. Yeah, you know how they get right before they get 13. When they get about 12 or 13.
My grandmother used to tell us he smelled himself.
Well, yeah, and he don't use deodorant, so I'm pretty sure he going to, yeah. He smelled himself, and you and I will smell him too. All right, here we go.
What did he want to say? We couldn't hear it. What did he want to say?
That my grandmother used to say when you get at that age, you start acting foolish, you're smelling themselves.
Smelling themselves.
Smelling
themselves. Smelling. Yeah. Yeah. That's when they start getting those pit hairs. Yeah. All right. So, saints get tired. Look at the opportunity that the men of Succoth get. And the princes of Succoth said, are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thine hand that we should give bread to your army? And Gideon said, therefore, when the Lord hath, speaking faith, when the Lord hath delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars.
Ooh.
Application for that. That means when I come back, I'm going to get an ironing cord on you. Raise some whelps. All right. And verse 8. Mm-hmm. Somebody know what I'm talking about. All right. And verse 8. He went up thence to Penuel. He's going to give them an opportunity. And spake unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth had answered him. And he spake also unto the men of Penuel, saying, when I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. So he goes to two folks, kinfolk, and says, hey, we're tired. Can you help us out? Can you contribute to the kingdom? Verse 10. Now, Zebah and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their host with them, about 15,000 men. Wow! All that were left of the host of the children of the east, for there fell 120,000 men that drew sword. Now, they still got a whole lot more than what Gideon has. But
and
man,
they're running.
And they're running. Ooh! Yes! And they're still running. But they're still a formidable force. Can we just let them go? Why can't he's already defeated him, so why does he have to keep letting it?
Well, if the Lord has told, instructed him to destroy them, he needs to do what the Lord said.
Okay, well, why would God want him to be destroyed? I mean, we already...
won't come back again.
Okay, application for today. Some of y'all got some, I'm not going to say y'all, some of us have some victories, and we have defeated the enemy on occasion in our life. But if you don't cut the head off the enemy, wait a minute. Anybody ever experienced a situation? Anybody ever experienced a situation that something that you defeated comes back on you?
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Cut the head off the enemy.
From the womb.
The enemy knows. Oh boy, if you let me hang around, I'm gonna come back. Just give me a little time to regroup.
And bring his friends.
And he'll bring 14,999 others with him. All right, here we go. All right. That's the application. Don't let something that you've already defeated run up on you again.
Yeah.
Amen.
I was talking to my grandson again. I'm sorry, that's just fresh in my mind. I was talking to my grandson, and I said, hey, you want to talk to your granny? Your granny's over here, talking about my wife. Your granny's over here. And she snapped back, I'm not granny, I'm grandma. And I'm like, girl, you snap back. What the do? What? I've been saying long enough.
Granny sounds old.
I don't care. Not I didn't mean anything by it. Why are you going to make that an issue? What? Do you know who you're talking about? I'm the kid. But I didn't go there, Al.
Glad you did.
I was thinking about it, but I didn't go there. I just gave it that kind of funny look, and I'm like, no, I've already defeated this. I'm not letting this come back in. No. Not letting this come back in. No. Keep your foot on the enemy's neck. Sometimes the enemy works through folk, and they don't even know it. All right. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwelt in the tents in the east of Nobah, and, oh my goodness, Jogbaha, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zeba and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them and took the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. Man, I hope this word allows somebody today to make the enemy and the problems in your life uncomfortable.
Amen.
Oh, key point here. Look at this. Somewhere in here. I can't see. All right. Well, anyway, it still says he's got... Oh, I know what it was. Look at verse... Oh, wait a minute. Where is it? I'm scrolling. Oh, here it is. Verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. Mm-hmm. What do you notice about that?
Afterwards, Jordan still had 300.
That's right. If you don't know, just read it. It's right there.
Yeah.
He still had the 300. Wait a minute. This ain't in my notes. If I'm part of the 300, and I should have been, somebody knows. If I'm part of the 300, and I just experienced a victory that should have took me out. Mm-hmm. But now, after that victory, I'm starting to get a little tired and growing faint. Don't I know if God has kept me the first time?
I should know He'll keep me again.
Ooh, you just took the words right out of my mouth.
Yeah. That's true. He didn't bring you this far to lead you.
He did not bring them. Amen, Sandra. He did not bring them this far for them not to go and complete everything that He said for them, to have a complete victory.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes if you don't keep going, then other things are going to come against you.
And
you're weak. Yeah. This is like, ooh, they're weak. I'm coming with other things. Just like with David, he stayed home when he should have been out in battle.
Yep.
And then he got tempted, and then the whole thing fell out of control, escalated, and went crazy. So he might have been tired and might have needed a little break, but it said that when Kings usually went out to war, he was up on the rooftop.
Right. Yep. Chilling on the rooftop. Up on the roof.
Rest in the Lord, though.
So tired, but still being in pursuit.
Yeah.
Oh, and here's a point. And thank you so much for your gift for me. And this is what I was thinking about when you guys gave me the Christmas gift. He didn't ask Sukkoth and Penuel to come fight with him. He just said, can you give me some biscuits? It's critical if you're not going to pursue the enemy to at least invest in those who do.
Amen.
Instead of getting blessed, they get a curse. Now, you do need to pray about who you're going to be given to. Make sure you're led by the Spirit. But I remember Jesus talking about this before, too. When he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you visited me. So, and here's another one. Remember the parable of the talents.
Mm-hmm.
One had one talent, and he hid it in the ground.
Right.
And when the master came, good parable, he said, you didn't give me any increase. What did you do? Well, you know, here's what I got. I'm going to give back to you. You mean you ain't give me back? You're going to give me this back? Remember what the master said? The least thing you could have done was to invest this, and then that way I could have got some interest. The very least we can do if we're not going to go out there and be on the battle lines and the front lines is to be able to invest in those who have and are.
Safe.
And then we get interest off of that. Because the unprofitable servant, he doesn't get a reward, he gets a beat down. So, keep that in mind, because there's a price to pay when you don't support the kingdom of God. Again, you need to be led by the Spirit when you do this. All right? And again, I already told you, if you don't take the problem all the way out, it will regroup and come back on you. Getting the victory is one thing, but keeping it is another. Having a nice bank account is one thing, but keeping it is another.
Yeah.
Okay. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle before the sun was up and caught a young man of the men of Sukkoth and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Sukkoth and the elders thereof, even 70 men. 17 men. I'm sorry. And he came upon the men of Sukkoth and said, behold, here's Zeba and Zalmunna, with whom ye did upbraid me, tease me, saying, are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna now in thine hand, that we should give bread unto thy men that are weary? Ingrates. Verse 16, and he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and the briars, made himself a little whip with them. All right. And with them he taught the men of Sukkoth. Anybody know what it means when you teach somebody with? All right, well, he waxed them hind parts. Okay, so here we go. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. I do not know why he messed with them. He dealt with them harsher than he dealt with the men of Sukkoth. Maybe because there's some speculation here. Maybe it's because they had faith in their tower for security, and that was a greater sin than just not being, you know, showing gratitude or benevolence. I don't know. I just know they got a beat down. All right? So I got a couple of things here. All right?
Maybe he's tired of those attitudes, and he was just like, I'm done with this.
Well, and you know, I don't want God to be done with me. So again, the application here, there's nothing new under the sun, even though we're not trying to kill anybody out here. From a spiritual perspective, there's still nothing new under the sun. And so God even in the Gospels and the parables, God tells us we need to be cheerful givers. And we should look for those things that we can invest in that will give us interest. They would have got a reward without even having to go out there to do the heavy fighting. All right. I got a caution here. I want to be careful not to read too much into the passages. You know, several, you know, commentaries say some things or whatever. Oh, and here's one of my notes. Don't be discouraged. These are kinfolk. They're still relatives that he's asking help for. I'm only talking to a couple people here, but don't let people you would expect to help you. Don't be discouraged if they don't. Just saying. Just move on without them. Let me tell you something. If the 300 who God had not brought this far to leave there, if the 300 said, oh my God, our kinfolk ain't helping us out. People that I always said, the church that I thought I expected would help me, ain't helped me. Oh, woe is me. I ain't going to go no further. They never would have got to complete victory. You won't get complete victory if you let other people's actions keep you, oh my goodness, from what God wants you to do.
Because where does our help come from?
Our help comes from the Lord. Oh, my God. Thank you very much. That ain't a rhema word. I got to write that down. That's good. When you expect your help to come from others rather than the Lord, you will get discouraged. But if I know my help comes from the Lord, then I might be a little disappointed. I might be mildly angry, but I'm like, well, you just missed out on your blessing. So I just want everybody to know that if you contributed to that thing, even if you just prayed for me for that Christmas present that I didn't ask for, let me tell you something. You're doing, in the spiritual realm, you did a kingdom work. You get interest off of that. Okay. Now, here we go. We might be able to finish this. David is sitting there shocked and amazed. And then he said unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so they were. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brothers, even the sons of my mother, as the Lord liveth. If ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. He's trying to teach his son how to take out the enemy. But the youth drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Uh-huh. Young people want to be grown, but when it comes to it, they ain't ready yet. Tracy, stop looking at that boy. All right, now here we go. Now, then Zeba and Zalmunna said, rise, thou, and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zeba and Zalmunna and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks. All right? Now, a lot of different commentary. I don't have a whole lot of great revelation on this. You can read my notes there. You got to be careful who you're killing because they may be related to Jesus. Be careful. All right? When you kill my relatives, you're going to reap what you sow. I told my grandson, if you're going to be disrespectful when you have kids, guess what you're going to have?
Disrespectful kids.
Disrespectful kids. Get ready. You're going to see this again.
What goes around
comes around. You ain't going to see it in my house because I knock people out. But anyway. And I told him now. I said, hey, you know, I love you, but I still knock people out, you know. And even if you get bigger and badder and big enough and you can take me or whatever, that's okay because if I have a cane, I'll take you off with my cane. If I'm in a wheelchair, God forbid, I'll just run over you. But bottom line is Grandpa takes people out. All right, here you go. And then he gives them the gospel. Sometimes he gives them the gospel before he takes them out. But anyway, here we go. All right. A lot of different opinions as to why the princes wanted Gideon to kill them. Either they were taunting him, or they figure out, hey, look, this young kid ain't going to be able to take us out. his blade cuts might not be as clean as Gideon. We prefer Gideon to do it. Or maybe there's more honor. So that's just a little gee whiz stuff there. I don't have anything else. I told you the bigger stuff was above. Okay. Here we go. How much further do we have to go? Ah. 3 minutes. Can I do this in 3 minutes? Because choir rehearsal, they're starting to play the piano. They're going over to me. Can I do this in 3 minutes? Okay, let's do this. Okay, here we go. Then the men of Israel said unto Gideon, rule thou over us, both thou and thy son's sons also, for thou hast delivered us from the hand of Midian. Now, that's, I like these kind of people. Grateful. I like that. And Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. Now, how humble, what a response is that? When they try to lift him up, he gets it back on the Lord. He gives God the glory, which is all what we're supposed to be doing as ministers anyway, is doing those things that give God the glory. And Gideon said unto them, I would desire a request of you that you would give me every man the earrings of his prayer. He wants to spoil. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Verse 25, and he answered, they answered, we will willingly give them. And they spread a garment and did cast therein every man the earrings of his prey. And the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold. Well, that's a lot of gold. Beside ornaments and collars and purple raiment that was on the kings of Midian and joined the spoil. And besides the chains that were upon the camels' necks. So what's he going to do with all this stuff? Look at the great thing that Gideon did. Gideon made an ephod thereof and put it in his city, even in Ophrah. And all Israel went a whoring after it, which thing became a snare unto Gideon and to his house. Oh, wait a minute. Was he trying to do a good thing?
Yes.
Yes. Did it turn out wrong?
Yes.
Why?
Because
the people started,
they made
it a God. Because, one, God didn't tell them to do it.
What?
Two, it took attention and glory from God.
From God.
Yep.
To Gideon.
Because instead of going to where the worship house was, instead of going to where the temple was, to where the real ephod is at, he made a substitute, and now they're doing that.
Right.
Which takes them away from God. Is there anything we need to be careful of? Any symbols, anything that we're doing today that even though we didn't mean for it to be bad, it could be a snare and keep people from really seeing God?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I ain't going to dig any deeper. You guys know. Sometimes we try to do a good thing and it's the wrong way and it turns out to be a trap. Sometimes we try to do a good thing and it looks innocent when it started, but because the Spirit of God ain't in it, it turns out to be messed up. Okay, it's 10:30, but we can finish this in 2 minutes. Verse 28, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel so that they lifted up their heads no more. Boom, that's how you take out the enemy. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon, 40, the number of probation. And Zerubbabel, the son of Joash, went out and dwelt in his own house. And Gideon had 70 sons of his body begotten, for he had many wives. Okay, so after the victory, okay, I don't even want to go there. Anyway, be careful how you handle your victories. All right, and his concubine that was in Shechem, she bare him a son, whose name he called Abimelech. Okay, we're not going to get into Abimelech, but Abimelech wound up killing all his sons, except for one. That's what happens when you're unequally yoked. All right. And verse 32, and Gideon, the son of Joash, died a good old age and was buried in the sepulchre of Joash's father and Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. Here we go again. Here we go again. Verse 34, and the children of Israel remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Neither showed they kindness to the house of Zerubbabel, namely Gideon, according to all the goodness which he had showed unto Israel. Gideon, in the spiritual hall of fame in Hebrews. And the thing that I see here is, even though Gideon made a mistake, notice, even in his mistake, they did not go whoring until after He died. Any last comments or thoughts as we just completed chapter 8? And Norman gave a note on Derek Prince on the invisible barriers of healing. Any last thoughts before we get out of here? Can you use any of this?
Yes, sir.